Are y'all ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Do you know that the Word has the power to change your life forever? And I hope that every time we get together, you come expecting to hear a word from God. Right? Not a word from Todd, a word from God. A word that will change. My words don't have the power to change your life unless I'm speaking what God speaks. So you have to come expecting, okay, I'm going to hear a word from God today, and I'm going to take it for myself, and I'm going to apply it to my life so that things are restored in my life. Don't you desire restoration in your life? I mean, someone raise their hand and can tell me they don't have one area of their life that they need some kind of restoration in. Right. We all need restoration in some area. Some area. And I believe that if you come expecting, or let me just say this, if you get into this word expecting, you will receive from God the very power to change what you're expecting or what you're looking for or what needs to be restored in your life. Amen?
Amen.
We in class today, something was said, and I paraphrase it. This is my paraphrase of it. Get your heart right, and your mouth will line up. We were talking about, you know, revelation in your heart, and then changing your voice. And I know I'm stepping all over this, Wanda, but you know, just y'all want to. If you want to get it straight, just listen to the tape of the prayer class. But that's the truth, because the Word says out of the abundance of what?
The heart,
the mouth speaks. So you got to get revelation in your heart so that your mouth will line up with your heart, and your heart has to be lined up with the Word of God so that the Word of God is coming out of your mouth, and that is when your circumstances start to change.
Amen?
Amen? So with all of that, we have to know who our enemy is. Don't we? And you've heard it from here before, your enemy, for all us married people, is not your spouse. Your enemy is not your children. Your enemy is not your neighbor. And thank God we've got good neighbors. And y'all just met them. They were back in the back. Matt and Tara Reynolds are here visiting with us today. They are our neighbors, best neighbors in the world. I couldn't ask for better neighbors. We take care of each other. I hope we help y'all as much as you help us. But good neighbors are good to have. You know, and so we have to understand who our enemy is. And the Word is very clear about who our enemy is. Our enemy is not God. You know, let's get something straight. I mean, I think there's some questions, even in people sitting here today. God is not your enemy. God does not bring destruction. God does not bring calamity in your life. If bad things happen around you or in your life, it is not God's fault. Religion doesn't understand this, but God is, and we talked about this, God is not in control. Okay? Quick history lesson. God gave up control when He gave it to Adam and Eve in the garden. He gave dominion to Adam and Eve in the garden over the earth. Adam gave up that dominion to who? Satan, the enemy of your soul, your true enemy. He gave up that control to him, and he still has that control in this earth, okay? He still has, but we have a caveat. God created a little caveat, and his name is Jesus. And all those that call upon his name now have that authority back, even though we live in this world that is under the control of the enemy of our soul. We are not of this world, and we operate outside of this world. We operate out of the kingdom of God. So we have authority as born again believers to change our circumstances, to walk through the fire, if you will, to do what is necessary to bring restoration. Amen? So who is your enemy? Oh, y'all aren't convinced. Satan is your enemy. We do not fight with flesh and blood. So many of us want to take that battle into the flesh, the natural realm, right? Let me just say, if you are fighting in the natural realm, if you are fighting with flesh and blood, you're going to lose every time. There is no win-win scenario fighting in the flesh. There is no win. Somebody is going to lose, and even the victor in that area is going to lose eventually. Because that is not where the battle is. The battle is in the realm of the spirit. Yes. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That is where the fight is. That is where the battle is. And that is where we win, is in the realm of the spirit. So as all these things that the enemy wants to bring on you, these distractions, these circumstances, these John 10:10, right? What does it say? The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. That is your enemy. That is who is taking those things from you. It's not some person. It's not a government. It's not an army in the natural. It is the thief. It is the enemy of your soul. It is Satan. It is Lucifer, the devil, whatever name you want to ascribe to him. That is who our battle is against. That is where we need to be fighting, is in the realm of the spirit. And then Jesus goes on to say in that verse, he came to give us life and it more abundantly. Yes. And I shared last time about those two words, what they meant. That word life, according to Strong's here, it says both physical or present life and of spiritual, particularly future existence. So we can understand that he's come to give us life. Yes, we understand eternal life. I believe that's given by, you know, I mean, anyone who has given their life to Jesus understands what that means eternally. That they are eternally secure. That one day when they leave this earth, their natural body leaves this earth, they'll be present with the Lord forever. But that word also has the context of life here in the present, in the now. He's come to give us life here in this earth and give it more abundantly. And I love this definition of abundantly. It says all around more than, beyond what is anticipated. So whatever you've anticipated, it is beyond that. Exceeding expectation. So when we say, have you come expecting today? Guess what? God can exceed that expectation. No matter what you can expect in your mind, God can exceed it because Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. It means more abundant. Ooh, that's a revelation. It means going past the expected limit. Going past the expected limit. See, even with our expectations in our natural minds, I think we put limits on things. Whether it be financially or our health or our family members, you know, we say, oh, well, if only little Johnny could get saved. Well, guess what? He wants to save Johnny and then save all of Johnny's friends through Johnny preaching the word to them. Amen. He can go beyond that expectation. That's what that word abundantly means. So as we're born again, we understand, you know, heaven and our future security there. But what is our idea of heaven? What is our idea of heaven? When you think of heaven, and I hope you do, what is your idea of what heaven is? Can you really imagine it? Can you really, truly imagine what heaven is? Now, there's a band, Mercy Me, that talks about that. If I could only imagine what that day is like. I don't know the rest of the song, but I sound right. Listen, I don't get to sing up here on the stage anymore, so y'all got to get my little bits here and there. I like to make a joyful noise. It may not be in tune, but it's joyful, amen. But whatever you can imagine of what heaven is, guess what? It's all around more than. It's beyond what is anticipated. Is it? It exceeds your expectation. It is more abundant. It is going past the expected limit. That's what heaven is. But how about here on earth? How about here on earth? We live here in this world, right? It says we're in this world. We may not be of it, but we're still in it. There is still stuff going on all around us every day of the week, right? So we're in this world. So what is our expectation? What is our what are we imagining about our life here in this earth? And it says that He come to give us life, both physical life, spiritual life. And we're talking about, you know, our theme, I don't know if I want to say that, is going deeper, right? Going deeper with God. Are y'all still reading Romans? I'm going to remind you every week. Every week. I'm going to remind you every week for the next year. You can spend a year in Romans, and you could still glean stuff from it a year later. Why am I there? I don't know. The Holy Spirit said, park right there. Not park and just stay. I mean, not that you're doing, but stay there. Stay there and glean and get revelation from the book of Romans. Hebrews 11:6 says this, He rewards those who diligently seek Him. He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. Let me say that again. Diligently seek Him. What does that word mean? It's not just on Sundays. It's just not, you know, your morning devotion time. It is all of that and more. It's exceeding the limit of what we expect. He rewards them with what? What do you think He rewards you with? I think we just read it. He rewards you with life and life more abundantly. Listen, the only way you're going to get more abundant life is to get revelation of what His Word says about who you are in Christ. Amen? You thought, well, I'll just get born again and it'll all be easy. That's what they said, right? Receive Jesus, your life will change. Well, most of us say, well, that changes for the better, and it is. But, you know, how many know that you don't get on easy street when you receive Jesus into your life? It ain't easy street, right? In fact, it probably opens your eyes up, you know, opens your eyes up to things. Remember, I always forget if it was Elijah or Elisha, so you have to forgive me. And the armies are coming in, and it's just him and his servant. And his servant is freaking out and saying, what are we going to do? All these armies are coming against us. And Elijah says, Lord, open his eyes. And his spiritual eyes were opened, and he saw the legions of angels around. Sometimes when we get born again, our eyes get open to some things. And we see things, right? We look at things differently. And it's not easy street. I understand that. And sometimes the more that we, you know, I'm encouraging you to go deeper. And some of y'all don't, just unconsciously don't even realize, I don't want to go deeper because I think more things are going to be revealed. And then I'm going to... Is anybody there? But that's where the victory is, too, when we go deeper with God. When we take Him at His Word, with His Word. Things don't sometimes get easier when we get born again. In fact, I would venture to say things, I can speak from experience. I remember when I got born again. I remember when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And my friends, all of my friends, none of them are saved. I can remember my friends, my closest friends at the time, and I may have shared this before, taking me to a restaurant because they wanted it to be in a public place, sitting me down at a table in a restaurant and just grilling me Because I had received Jesus. And they thought it was all a sham. I was being deceived. I was entering a cult. I mean, they cared about me as they knew how, you know. And they were grilling me. They were like, come on, you can't do this. We've known people all our lives. They've done that. And then we saw them, you know, a year later and they were in the bar chugging beers again. And, you know, it didn't stick. It didn't last. We don't want to see that for you. We don't want to see you get, you know, derailed from well-intentioned out of what they knew. But that was hard for me because I love these. I still love them. I love these friends. I mean, if you know me, I have... There are dear friends in my life that I count as dear that I would lay my life down for in a heartbeat. And so that sense of loyalty to them now was just cut off. And that was hard for me. I don't know if any of y'all have experienced that, where friends or family or any, you know, people just basically shunning you because of your decision to follow Christ. But that was hard. I was receiving something tremendous, something that was beneficial for me and my future family. But that was hard in that moment. Do you see where I'm at? So it's not just a bed of roses. It says that he rewards those who diligently seek him. In fact, that whole chapter, what does he reward us with? That life and life more abundantly. It's not because of it's going to be easy street, because if you look at that entire chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, it's talking about faith. It's talking about the faith of those that have gone before us. And I want to read out of Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to read in the King James here, starting in verse 24. And why do I want to talk about this? Because it takes faith to stand in the face of adversity. And if you don't know what faith is, or you don't have example of that, it's hard sometimes for you to stand in that face of adversity. I can't say anything, but it was the Holy Spirit that had come to indwell me that allowed me to stand in the face of that adversity of my dear friends who I adored, saying, "You're crazy. What are you doing? This is wrong." But I stood. I had to stand. And it takes faith sometimes to stand. It takes faith. And faith is work. Faith is a fight. It takes courage. You want to see restoration in your life and in your friends' lives and your family's lives? It's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. Let's read in verse 24, Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Sometimes some of us, I shouldn't say that. If you've been born again a long time, has temptation come and you just want to enjoy sin for a season? I'm not talking about gross sin. I'm just saying, you know, when temptation comes, but we have to stand by faith, just like Moses did. He did not want to enjoy the pleasures of Pharaoh's house, the king of that day in Egypt, in the king's palace. How many of you would leave the king's palace with everything taken care of for you and suffer for a cause? How many would do that? I just read a story. This is completely off the subject, but I just read a story the other day, and it was talking about these two women, 80 years old. One was a certified nurse or had been a nurse all her life. And I forget what the other one did. I think it had something with serving in that area, but she wasn't a nurse. 80 years old, we're down in this, we'll call it a third world country, and again, I apologize for not knowing the details. Down in this third world country at 80 years old, and they were driving to where they were going to minister, whatever they were doing, I'm sure it was in the medical field, and it was just the two of them, and their car the brakes failed in their car, and they went over a cliff and died. And this person was using this as an example. He's saying, listen, these people were 80 years old, retired, past the retirement age, serving the Lord in what they wanted to do, knew to do. And you know, you've got other, and this is, you know, sometimes. Don't get in condemnation here. This is just an example. You've got other people that retire and their dream, their ultimate dream, they've been dreaming about it for 40 years probably, is to go buy them a place in Florida, sit on the beach, walk around, collect seashells for the rest of their life until they die. Some of y'all say, yeah, that's my dream. What are you getting ready to say? I've been talking about that for 20 years. I'm going to Florida. I'm getting me one of them condos. And I'm sticking my feet in the sand and ain't nobody going to grab them out. Listen, no condemnation here. I'm just saying, I'm sharing a story. But I see y'all have got me all messed up now. Two ladies. What did he say? Over the cliff. Let's get to the good part of the story. Gene's saying, see? They went over the cliff. If I was in Florida, I'd be on that beach still. Flatland. Faith. It takes faith to fight the good fight. Now I don't even know where I was going with that story. Y'all have messed me up. You want to see restoration in your life, it takes faith. That's where I'm at. Somebody's going to listen to this tape and say, what, 80 years going over a cliff, what does that have to do with anything he's talking about? I don't know. Holy Spirit, weave it together. Make it make sense. Let me just read the scripture. How about that? Because when we read scripture, we can't go wrong. Y'all say, Todd, don't share any more stories. My wife has told me for years, you can't tell jokes. Just stop. They don't work when you tell them. So I guess I can't share stories either. So it'll come to me and it'll all wrap up, I assure you. It'll all wrap up. By faith, Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's where I was going with that story. Thank you. Thank you, Angie, for that encouragement. Rather than sitting on a beach somewhere doing nothing for others, these two 80-year-old women. Am I losing everybody? These two 80-year-old women. Okay, I'm going to quit. Don't y'all laugh at my snort. Verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, Listen, what kingdom do we live in on this earth in the natural realm? Subdued kingdoms by faith. Wrought righteousness. Obtained promises. Stopped the mouths of lions. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of the weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all of these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. That's quite a list. Those are some accomplishments, quite some accomplishments that they overcame by faith. But even all that they did, God was not willing to leave us out. And it said they didn't receive the promise. But guess what? They will, and we can. The Amplified reads this way, verse 39 and 40 says, "In all these, though they won divine approval by means of their faith, did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised, because God had us in mind." Us, the church. Someone say, "I am the church."
I am the church.
We are the church. You and I together called out, the ecclesia, the called out ones, separated. We are separated unto God, separated out of this world. And we can operate in the kingdom of God and under its principles and have authority in this earth. Right? Do you all believe that? See, if we want to go deeper with God, we must diligently seek Him by faith. Diligently seek Him by faith. And what does this promise? The salvation of your soul. Look at 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter. And I want to read this out of the Amplified. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me read starting in verse 3. It says, "For His divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness." Whose power? God's power. Has bestowed it on who? Us. Us, you and me. "All things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full and personal knowledge of Him who called us by and to His own glory and excellence or virtue. By means of these He has bestowed on us His precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust and greed, and become sharers or partakers of the divine nature." Man, we see that all around us, don't we? Greed, covetousness. "For this reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, that is excellence, resolution, Christian energy. And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge and intelligence. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, that's patience and endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness or piety. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. Again, we will be known by our love for one another, our brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful until the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. That's quite a list. And I see that as a list of progression. We progress through that list, and the ultimate culmination of it is Christian love, that agape love. So I ask you, what are you diligently seeking him for? Because those are the things that we're to go after. That's what we're to aim for. You know, when you have the world uses it all the time, right? Set goals for your life. What is your goal? You want to lose 20 pounds. What is your goal? You want to have 3 cars and 2 babies. You know, what is your goal? You set a goal. Set a goal and put it before you. It makes going after it easier, right? Well, I say set a spiritual goal. What does going deeper with God mean to you? What do you want to accomplish by going deeper with God? And I believe He'll reveal it to you. He'll show you things. He'll show you things. That word salvation means welfare, prosperity, deliverance, preservation, salvation, safety. In fact, verse 10 in the King James reads this way, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The grace that should come unto us. It's by grace through faith that you are saved. By grace through faith. I put a note down here and I have no idea what it means. Maybe my wife does because it references a Jeep. It says Jeep, place and turn. I don't know what that means. I think my software got its own mind to get me off track. Ephesians chapter 2, let's go there. Listen. Me getting slightly confused has nothing to do with me turning 50. In fact, I don't even like 50-year-old birthdays because everybody, look at this. You got a knife on you? Give me a knife. Everybody takes the 50-year-old birthday. I don't like these black balloons. I mean, that represents death. And they say, oh, 50, you're on the downhill slide now. You got nowhere to go but down now, Todd. I can truly tell you, and I mean this with the sincerity of my heart, I feel I'm not, and Bob said it, I feel I'm not even, I'm just ramping up. I mean, I feel that way. I'm telling you, there are things going to happen in this earth, and I'm just ramping up, y'all. And y'all, I hope you get the same. I hope it, this just infects you, this desire. You're just ramping up to the things of God. Because things are going to happen in this earth, and we, the Christian body, needs to be prepared and ready and ramped up to handle it. Because we have a message to bring. And everybody in this earth needs our message. Needs your message. And only you can deliver that message in your unique way that is going to help someone else. That you know. That you come in contact with. 50 years old black balloons. I'm telling you what. I ain't over the hill. No, but I got a good friend that gave me a bunch of stuff and all this stuff. Brian, I hope you're listening to this. No, I love him. He did it in good fun. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. And, you know, let's get back to the 80-year-old women. Reggie said, don't go there. Don't go there, Pastor. Age has no point of reference when it comes to the kingdom of God. Right, Judy? Yes. I'm telling you, you can receive your call. You can receive your appointment. You can receive your destiny, your purpose in life, late in life. And it don't matter. That's good. That's fine because you're in a different place, different time period. You're around different people. God has graced you and gifted you with different gifts, experiences. My goodness, the experience that you have. Some of us have a lot more experience than others. And that's good. Even if you're 80 years old, driving by yourself, on a cliffside road in an old beat-up car that the brakes don't work in. Ain't nothing wrong with 80, Joe. You're right. The love of God has no partiality to age. And I'd say the call of God is no respecter of persons according to age. I mean, you could be sitting there 90 years old and be called of God to something. Don't ever think to yourself, oh, you know, I had dreams back in the day, but they're long gone. You know, I've lived a good life. I've done things that I wanted to do. You know, I didn't do what I'd hoped to. I didn't accomplish things for God. No, that's rubbish, man. I'm telling you, He could call you right there, wherever you're at. And you can change, like, what do we say? One heart at a time. One life. You change one life, and then that life goes on to win countless souls. So don't ever discount where you are at right now. Don't ever feel sorry for yourself because you didn't do the things you wanted to do or haven't accomplished the things you wanted to accomplish. Don't get in a pity party. I'm not going to join the pity party with you. I'm going to encourage you to do what God has called you to do what He's speaking to you now. Amen? Glory to God. Let's see if Ephesians 2 has anything to say. Let me just read out of the Amplified in verse 1. It says, and you, somebody say me. He made alive. Yes. He made you alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world, where under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air, we know who that is. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of His indignation like the rest of mankind. But God. But God. But God, so rich is He in His mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful intense love with which He loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ Himself, the same new life with which He quickened Him for. It is by grace, His favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And He raised us up together with Him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, by Him and Him alone. He did this that He might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, the limitless, the surpassing riches of His free grace, His unmerited favor, in His kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is a gift of God. It's a gift. This salvation, this promise that even the prophets of old looked into. It even says that the angels look into these things and desire to know what the gift is that He's given to us, you and me. Now turn back to 1 Peter real quick. I meant for you to keep your finger there. And let's wrap this. Well, that's what I said, 2 Peter. No, we weren't. We were in 1 Peter. Well, that's what I said, 2 Peter. That's real. Y'all hush. Verse 10 says, once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you were unpitied, but now you are pitied and have received mercy. Beloved, I implore you as aliens and strangers and exiles in this world to abstain from the sensual urges, the evil desires, the passions of the flesh, your lower nature, that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves properly, honorably, righteously among the Gentiles, so that although they may slander you as evildoers, yet they may, by witnessing your good deeds, come to glorify God in the day of inspection, when God shall look upon you wanderers as a pastor or shepherd looks over his flock. Man, just by living your life righteously testifies to someone, to an unbeliever. And I know it's cliche-ish, but you hear it all the time. You might be the only Bible someone reads. An unbeliever may not pick up this book right here. But I guarantee you they'll watch your life. They'll see what you're doing, how you're acting, how you're reacting. The places you go, they'll hear what comes out of your mouth. someday that'll be a witness to them, and they'll glorify God in that day of inspection. 13, be submissive to every human institution and authority for the sake of the Lord, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or the governors as sent by him to bring vengeance, punishment, justice to those who do wrong and to encourage those who do good service. For it is God's will and intention that by doing right, your good and honest lives should silence, muzzle, gag the ignorant charges and ill-informed criticisms of foolish persons. Live as free people, yet without employing your freedom as a pretext for wickedness, but live at all times as servants of God. I remember Pastor Rob years ago, and this has stuck with me ever since, and other people have said it throughout the years, I'm sure, but our freedom does not give us a license to sin. The grace of God is we are not given a license. Because we have freedom, in all things we have freedom. It is not our license to sin. Just because you know you are going to heaven does not give you the permission to live however you want on this earth. We have a responsibility. Show respect for all men. Treat them honorably. Love the brotherhood, the Christian fraternity of which Christ is the head. Reverence God. Honor the emperor. You who are household servants, be submissive to your masters with all proper respect. Not only to those who are kind and considerate and reasonable, but also to those who are surely overbearing, unjust, and crooked. For one is regarded favorably, he is approved, acceptable, and thankworthy, if, as in the sight of God, he endures the pain of unjust suffering. And then it goes on. I'll just encourage you to read that further. What kind of life are we to live here in the earth? You were purchased with a tremendous price. And when we live this life in this earth with no differentiation, because someone could look at someone and at two people and one be a Christian and the other not, and they couldn't know the difference between the two. When we live according to this world, it's like trampling the blood of Jesus under our feet. It's like discounting everything that he's done for us. We need to understand the price that he paid to give us back the authority in this earth. And let's get right back to that, because you do have authority in this earth. You do have the authority to speak to storms. You do have authority to command those dead things to be back, come back to life. You do have authority to cast out demons, to all that Mark chapter 16 tells us about. You do have that authority. But guess what? Unless you go deeper with God and get that into your heart as revelation, and I don't mean just, head knowledge. I don't mean reading it on the pages, oh, I can cast out demons. No. You have to have the revelation in your heart, and then it will proceed from your mouth, and that will be acted on. Listen, Jesus said it's finished, right? God has, and this is for another time, another topic, but God has done all that he is going to do. He has provided everything that we have need of. He's done it all. He is sitting down. What? He's waiting on us as the sons of God to take up Christ in our authority and operate in that authority. Jesus said it is finished. Listen, when the Messiah says it's finished, it is finished. He ain't going to open the book back up and rewrite it. It's finished. We have to understand what the finished work of Christ is and get a revelation of it by reading his word. Amen. We've got to go deeper. I'm telling you, and I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself about this end times class because it just is stirring stuff up on the inside of me as I prepare for it. And I'm so excited to be able to present that. And I believe it's going to, it's creating an urgency in me. And I hope it creates an urgency in all those that attend to understand the times that we're in, to get serious about the things of God and to be about the Father's business. Because we know the earth is, darkness is coming in. We see it all around us. But we, born-again believers, you and I, the church, do not have to live in fear over what we see happening around us. In prayer class, we're studying Psalm 91. Listen, 1,000 may fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand. There may be people falling down around you, dying before you because of whatever. You don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. Now, some of that, I believe, is going to happen during the Great Tribulation. And if you come to the class, we're going to talk about all that time frame and where we are and where we are right now, I believe, as a church, and where we're going to be and who that involves, the Great Tribulation, and why we don't have to be fearful of it. But I'm telling you, we need to get serious about the things of God. You as an individual need to go deeper with God. We as a church need to go deeper with God. We need to be standing in our place of authority for our community. That's what Operation School Guard is. We are standing in a place of authority over the students and schools in this area. And not only in the schools, you need to be standing in a place of authority for your families. Standing in a place of authority over your own life. Why? So we can advance the kingdom. It's all about advancing the kingdom in this earth. Advancing the kingdom in this earth. We could all say, yeah, man, I sure would love to just go and be with Jesus. That would be awesome. That'd be great. Paul said the same thing, but guess what? You have things to do in this earth.
Yes.
No matter how old you are, no matter what station of life you're in, you have things to accomplish in this earth for the kingdom of God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you are getting in alignment with the assignment that the Holy Spirit has for you, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, that He has given you ears to hear what He's saying, that you're listening, that you're receiving that, and that your operate is flowing out of you, operating in it. Because people need us. This world needs us. He needs each and every one of us. And if the enemy can come in and distract, steal, kill, destroy, that's what he's going to do to keep us from advancing the kingdom. And if we keep allowing it, guess what? He'll keep coming. If we keep allowing it, and I don't want to give the enemy too much credit. Sometimes we in of ourselves, we destroy ourselves. It's easy to do that, right? Talk to yourself. Oh, I can't do that. I can't accomplish that. There's no way I could do that. I'm not equipped to do that. I can't get up and speak before people. I can't deal with kids. I can't do that. I can't go talk to someone in a public place that isn't about sports or our kids or, you know, the price of cheese today. I mean, we got to get our conversation beyond that, right? Those are great intros. Can you believe the price of this cheese today? Do you know who paid a great price for you? Hey, I want somebody to use that. I believe that's anointed. Someone should use that the next time they go to the store. And it doesn't have to be cheese. It could be broccoli. It could be steak. You believe the price of this steak? Yeah, I know. That's terrible. Well, do you know someone else paid a tremendous price for you? I'm trying to be serious. All right. I'm getting a whoosh. Good. She said good. I just want to encourage y'all. I want to stir you up. encourage you in the things of God. And I pray that, you know, and I believe that when you come expecting, I believe that He is the need meter. The Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you, He will use whatever is said and meet you right where you need it. He'll meet you. If you will allow Him, if you will open up to that, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. The very same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you and can meet your need right now, right where you are. And I pray that He does that for you. When you come expecting, guess what? He'll exceed your expectation. He'll go beyond what you've anticipated, because that's what Jesus died to give us, that life and life more abundantly. And you can take that life and disperse it wherever you go. Amen? Amen.